You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
And welcome in Minor Talk. That's right, UTEP getting the win over Louisiana Tech. The Miners get this one 70-60. And that's right, this is Minor Talk, presented by Jack in the Box, with 15 locations in El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box, the perfect spot before and after every game. UTEP getting the win here, as mentioned, 70-60. And I'm not alone to talk about this one. Behind the glass, we have Alberto running the boards. We got Zay in the building as well. And we also have George. We have everybody here except the one and only Adrian Broadus. We're holding the fort down for you. He'll be back. He'll be back soon. Don't even worry about it. And speaking of Adrian, congratulations to the A-team, Adrian and Alyssa, on their wedding anniversary this past New Year's Eve. So shout out to you guys. And I'm running out of breath on this one. UTEP getting the win, guys. Let's see if I could get these microphones right. Zay, go ahead and give me a mic check.
Mic check. Go Miners.
Okay, perfect. So I know which mic you are. You're four. And George, let's have you go.
Hey, man.
You got me?
There we go. All right, perfect. So I know who's who. And, of course, the man behind the glass, Alberto. He was watching the UTEP women's basketball game earlier before heading out over to the Haskins Center. And then head out around probably like 6 or so. Got there around there and was able to watch the Miners game. But before we get into the women's basketball game, Alberto, able to go out there in person. Oh, man, what a matchup for the Miners. I know the attendance for tonight was listed as 4,600, and we'll get to you in a bit. I know we got some lines ringing in, but we'll talk to a man who was out there at the Haskins Center for the CUSA opener for both teams, but this one at the Haskins for the Miners. Zay, crowd. I know that you were really looking forward to a big crowd for this game. The first out of three legs, bit disappointing in my opinion, but how was the crowd despite the 46/4700 number?
Yeah, it was loud. They got into the game a couple of times, and you know, the 46/92 number, it's frustrating. You know, I feel like I was expecting at least 6,000. I wanted, you know, to think that, hey, maybe they can get up to 7,000, 8,000. That was way, I was reaching too far. I mean, they could barely get 4,692, and that's just really disappointing, right? But at least now, you know, they beat a very, very quality team in Louisiana Tech, preseason conference favorites.
Yeah.
They put, you know, the whole city on notice as well as the whole league. And hopefully on Saturday, you know, they're playing the defending Conference USA regular season champs, yeah, Sam Houston. Hopefully they can get a bigger crowd then.
Yeah, and if they can continue this this type of play, right, in front of crowds, obviously that number is going to go up. But you mentioned the Sam Houston game. We're definitely going to talk about that one. They're not too far from here. They're out in Cruces. There was a close one between the Bearcats and the Aggies, of course. But I know we got Alberto behind the glass, and Alberto, shifting over from women's basketball to the men's game. UTEP able to play some stifling defense. How was it within the first 5 minutes? I mean, offensively, both teams struggling, but UTEP's defense kind of getting out to an early start.
It was that UTEP defense that is able to carry them to the win, right? 15 steals. They finished the day with 15 steals, and they forced a whole bunch of turnovers, right? They had the victory in the turnover margin big time, 20-3. So they were able to just play stifling defense, like you said. And despite not winning the rebounding battle, they won other margins, and that's what's lifted them to a victory today.
Yeah, and Miners getting out rebounded today. But if you just look at the numbers, it doesn't really tell the whole story. And I was talking to Adrian about this. We were texting throughout the game, and we were kind of like, hey, man, they might get out rebounded. That's going to be something we'll see a lot. But as long as they get those crucial rebounds, and, you know, definitely seemed like they did that tonight. For the Miners rebounding, overall, they do get out rebounded. We can't dispute that. 41-34. However, that difference is 7, and it was the same story in the first half. Miners out-rebounded by 7 in the first half, and they even it out in the second half. But take that away, and let's look at what really matters, those second-chance points, those offensive rebounds, and UTEP able to attack pretty much all night. I mean, if you were to kind of look into the game in different parts, you're going to see a minor rebound. If you watch any stretch of maybe 5 to 6 minutes worth of basketball, you might see an offensive rebound or two by the Miners. But we're going to talk more about it, guys. We have a lot to break down. But let's go over to the phone lines, and I want to make sure I do get this one right. I'm confident in this one, guys. To start 2025, we're going to do things
the
right way.
It is hard,
but you know what? We're going to get it. I was going to try and say something else, but it doesn't even matter because we got Chris from the West Side on line two. Chris, you're here on Miner Talk. Do me a favor, my friend. Go ahead and turn the volume on the radio down. Give us your thoughts, Chris. All right. Chris, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right. There we go. Chris, what's going on, man? Welcome to Miner Talk.
No, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Big Miner fan. Me and my boy go to the games all the time. Called a couple times, but just a couple things that I noticed from tonight's game. Like you guys said, we were really disappointed with the attendance tonight. I thought the athletic department did a good job of marketing, trying to get some people out. We took some family members over. We thought at least 6,000, 7,000 would show up, but like you guys said, numbers were kind of low. But it is what it is. If they keep winning, though, more people will come out. Second of all, Otis Frazier, that's the man. I think he's the best player on the team, and he's an animal. And, hopefully we keep it up. And also, too, lastly, little nicky pick, but the person I was sitting in front of was complaining about the DJ playing music during the game, and was complaining that he was playing music during the, I guess, the inbound. They were bringing the ball, and he would complain. He was talking to someone by the tunnel saying, this is not an NBA arena. But that's what we need. Wow. We need energy. We need people. We need the old 90s basketball, the early 2000s with Gillespie, just on your feet, Miner fans. And that's one thing also, too, I noticed with I don't know his name, the commentator or the announcer, the PA announcer.
Yeah.
We miss that. We need that. We need on your feet, Miner fans, because he does say loud, Miner fans, let's go, Miner fans, but we need that on your feet where people have to get up.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, and
that would be a big thing for us going down later on in the Conference USA where we need that energy, where we get 8,000, 9,000 there at the Don. But we need that from UTEP as well. On your feet, let's go.
Yeah.
But that's it. But overall, we're very pleased with the team, and we'll continue supporting them.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris. No, definitely some great thoughts there. And you're right. I mean, you want people to go to the games, and then you don't want to you don't want to detour them when things start to call, right, for that type of energy and for that type of attention. And if you want to be one of the more tougher places to play, that crowd is going to have to be rowdy. And you got to do different things here and there to get them riled up. You can't just rely on the basketball team. And I'm not saying that they can't do it. But, I mean, you want to make UTEP an experience. And I know it's apples to oranges, the Chihuahuas and the UTEP Miners. But the Chihuahuas do a great job of getting people to interact, albeit it's, you know, during the breaks and stuff. But you want that. And if UTEP wants to continue that trend of last year where the home team hardly ever lost, you got to give them something other than some basketball, even though it's doing its job.
Yeah, and also,
I agree. It's interesting. I think that a lot of people will tell you here that, oh, well, we want to see a winner. Well, at the same time, you got to take into the account, well, let's build a program here. Let's build a tradition it's not easy. You know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Let's support our team regardless, right? I mean, it's a tough place to play because of the elevation. Let's make it even tougher with the noise. Imagine if this defense had 12,000 screaming fans behind them tonight.
Man.
This is a totally different game, right? I mean, it's a lot scarier, but it's a sleepy town. We have a sleepy fan base. Maybe they'll wake up sooner or later.
Yeah, no, and, today is step one, really, I mean, we look at this three-game stretch that they opened conference play with. We talked about this one. They got Sam Houston next, who the Miners were able to defeat in the conference tournament last year. I think that's going to increase the motivation on the visitor side, but that's what you want. You want teams who are, you know, atop the league playing at their best or giving them a reason to do that. And if UTEP wants to be there, they got to win consistently. Definitely doable after today's performance, Zay, when it comes to the way that they performed and, you know, seeing how they can bring that crowd for these next two games.
Yeah, and, you know, Joe Golding, he said it post-game, and he said it before, you know, the crowd can really sway games, right? Momentum is a real thing, especially in basketball, especially in college basketball. And the way that UTEP plays, I mean, they love to run in transition. They get the crowd into it. They throw alley-oops. They do fun stuff. It's a fun team to watch. And obviously, you know, you need a bigger crowd. Right,
yeah.
That should be step number one. But hey, UTEP is winning games; they're doing everything right, and you know the energy will come. Right, as long as fans support them, the energy will come.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's a long, long season. We definitely see that year in and year out in Conference USA basketball. And if you hear me trying to do two things at once, it's because I am, but I'm going to get this button. There we go. Finally, we're going to do it, guys. It doesn't matter. But nonetheless, we're here on Minor Talk, and it's brought to you by Jack in the Box. And going over back to our phone lines, we have Tom. Tom, what's going on, man? What are your thoughts on today's win?
Yeah, great win. I went to the game. Great energy. The fans did step up, the fans that were there. Excuse me, but Where's the student body? You know, I went to UTEP and graduated from UTEP, and I went a little bit later in life, and I went to school in the UTEP in the late 80s, and I used to cherish getting that free ticket, and then going to the game because I didn't have much money back then, and it's just disturbing that you have a team that's starting to play this well. It's already picked up 11 wins. And are really playing hard, and they just can't get more than 4,000 people in a conference game, a good conference game with La Tech.
Yeah.
So a little disappointing, but I think the fans will start to turn out. It's been probably too long of a dry period, and people are just, you know, disenchanted, and they need to wake up, like everybody else said. But the other point I wanted to bring up is I think this team's got, I mean, 15 steals, guys. 15
yeah.
steals. The other team had zero. La Tech. He's got to continue to play to his strength, and that's the team lateral quickness that this team has. I think he should press more. I think he should trap a little more. I think he should continue to just get in the face of the other team, you know, in their guards, and just keep the guards rattled. So they just can't really get the ball to the bigger teams that we're going to, you know, the big men for the bigger teams we're going to play. So
yeah,
that's some of my thoughts.
No, definitely. And that's a good point right there, Tom, because you just mentioned, right, like keeping the guards rattled and preventing them from getting it to their bigs. And that is the exact identity of this Louisiana Tech team. I mean, I know that there's been some teams that people could scoff at, whether it be Division II or maybe lower Division I level. But this was a quality opponent in Louisiana Tech, a team that is expected to be a top Conference USA. And although shaky today, I can expect them to go ahead and rattle off some more wins, you know, as the time comes. But when we talk about Sean Newman, it's a guy who's leading the country in assists. He's up there. And then you also talk about Daniel Bacho, one of the top pro prospects for Conference USA. I mean, granted, he is a guy who's well-seasoned in college basketball and a younger age, you know, may be more appealing to those draft picks. But this is a guy who's seasoned. And the way that basketball is going now, upperclassmen are starting to get the respect they deserve. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but that's just something that I kind of key on. And Tom, thank you so much for your thoughts. I want to ask you guys about that too. I mean, how UTEP is going to win games, obviously, is going to be up to how they play. But what are the more predictable ways that you can see that coming for the Miners? Like, let's say they want to get past Sam Houston, you know, a Liberty when the time comes, even a New Mexico State while we're at it. What are they going to have to do consistently aside from the defense, you know, for them to keep this win streak going?
Yeah, you know, they're going to need to shoot the ball well, right? They go 6 for 29, and, you know, first off, they scored 70 points, only hitting 6 threes. I mean, that just goes to show they were really,
incredible,
really good in the paint tonight, which is unlike UTEP. So I think they're going to need to shoot the ball really, really well, and they're going to need those offensive rebounds, right? You know, Otis Frazier had 7 tonight, and I felt like maybe three or four of those were just putbacks, and he was just getting to the rim. He was getting those offensive boards, and they were, you know, as Coach Joe Golding said, they were gut punches to La Tech. They were really big rebounds. So keep winning the second chance points if you can, and shoot well. I think that, you know, aside from forcing turnovers and stuff like that, what we're used to seeing from UTEP is, you know, win the offensive rebound battle, which is going to be tough for them. I don't even think they won it today, or they did.
Offensively, yeah, but overall, I see overall,
yeah. And then, you know, shoot the ball well. They 6 for 29. It's not great.
6 for 29 from three, by the way. There, yeah, not great. You're not happy with that, right? And overall, they shot only 38% today. If we're going to go with 37.9% here from field goal percentage, but I think the important thing is continuing to get good looks.
Yeah,
there was a couple times where their talent really outweighed and made something out of nothing late in the shot clock. You can't really keep counting on that, mm-hmm. but it's getting the good looks. It's those backdoor cuts. It's those driving kicks, right? Keep getting good looks. I think, who was it? Trey Horton here struggled a bit today, 0 for 2, but he got some good looks, right, especially early on. If those two shots fall, maybe he has a totally different game, right? So I think that's just what it comes down to, is playing within themselves. They're really good pushing the pace, but they're also still really good in the half court.
Yeah.
So I think it's just playing sound offensively in a game like this could take you a long way.
Yeah, and offensively, this team much improved versus in years past. I think obviously the main one, just in general for this year, has been their 3-point shooting. Well, it wasn't there today, but what we've seen these last couple games is a lot more motion on offense, guys being fluid and playing basketball without the basketball, if that makes any sense. You know, able to free things up for their guys. But before we get back to the phone lines, let's go over to Twitter or X, whatever you still want to call it. Nonetheless, let's get back over to there. And this one from Poncho, he says, ugly win, but still a win. Great D, but they need more mid-range shots and less threes on those nights where threes aren't going in. Well, I think we got to see the motion there. But, definitely good thoughts. We have Sad UTEP fan. He says, great win. I think he's going to change his name after today. But great win. A little scary at the end, but overall a good game. Just one thing. Thomas needs to take Trey's minutes, man. I keep hearing how this dude can shoot, and he sure doesn't show it when it matters. I see way more upside in Thomas. Ah, interesting thoughts. I mean, this is I don't know if it's a hot take or not. I mean, I don't know if it's too big of a take because when it comes to minutes, I mean, there's going to be some for either guy. And if it's a game where you're struggling on your threes, one side of it is like, hey, stop shooting, just as we saw Poncho mentioned. But with Sad UTEP fan, I mean, if you want to break the trend, you gotta break through it. So I don't know, man. What do you think? Thomas more than Horton?
Well, look. You know, look, I think that, you know, Ahmad Bynum came in to today as, you know, I think he was still the nation's leading 3-point shooter in percentage. Mm-hmm. He goes 0 for 8 from the field, 0 for 5 from 3. I mean, 3-point shooters have their ups and downs, and right now Trey Horton, he's in a really bad stretch, right? He's having himself a slump, and just like you see in baseball, you know, hitters have slumps all the time. He is a shooter at the end of the day. I think that down the stretch in conference play, just because, you know, he's shown that he can hit threes, eventually those will start to fall. I think that he's going to keep those minutes. But KJ Thomas, he's played really, really good. He only had 4 minutes today, but he had a really, really nice and one bucket. And, you know, I'm not going to say he should take Trey Horton's minutes, but if he keeps playing the way he does, he might.
Yeah, and maybe if he doesn't take away all the minutes, maybe just a portion of it. I think also, too, they may take it on a game-by-game basis. Like, what is the identity of that game in itself? But something interesting that Golding had mentioned, and I can't remember if it was in a pregame interview or a postgame interview, but either way, he had mentioned how Kalu is a guy who he sees when it comes to working the hardest. He says, obviously, all of them work hard, but the guy who's usually in the gym first and the last to leave is Kalu. And then aside from that, it's going to be Trey Horton, how they continue to put up, you know, their shots and work on their individual game before and after practice, on days off, what have you. So, I mean, if we're seeing Kalu have this progression, right, taking things game by game, who's to say that Horton, you know, can't be that?
Yeah, I mean, we saw that earlier in the season, right? Kevin Kalu was pretty quiet offensively, right? And now we're starting to see maybe more of a guy that's closer to averaging kind of, you know, a double-double or close to that at least, right?
Effective,
right? As far as, you know, going on a game-by-game basis with the guards, Ahmad Bynum was 0 for 8 today, right, as they said. He had 4 steals. I mean, he was energetic. He was moving around, and he never put his head down, even though he was having a bad shooting night. Yeah, Trey Warren, you take that 0 for 2 with a big grain of salt. And KJ Thomas, I hate saying this, he played within himself, right? I hate saying that, but, like, he filled his role nicely. I mean, it's they didn't need him to expand that today. And so I thought that that's perfect where we're at right now with our guards. And we're so deep there, too. I mean,
yeah, no, definitely. A lot of guards. That's Joe Golding's dream, too, right? If he could have guards only on his team, I doubt he wouldn't want that. I mean, this guy's, you know, he's a guard himself, a guy who got it through the mud out there, you know, with ACU. But Alberto, before we go over to Milkman, who we have online, too, I mean, you've been hearing all this talk about minutes between Horton and Thomas. Is it kind of just, you know, buying into something that isn't worth buying? What do you think?
No, I think Jorge we touched on. I think it's just a lot about who gets hot at the right time, yeah. Right? You guys touched on Kevin Kalu. I was just checking the stats. There's a 3-game period where the dude didn't score a bucket. But now he's out there. Cause last game, he was attempting a 3-pointer. Why? Because that confidence. Yeah, because why? Because that confidence has gone up. So I think it's like this game is also a lot about confidence. So I think if Trey Horton's a lot of these shots start to hit, hey, maybe things go your way and another thing comes of it. So I think that those extra spots that are up for grab for the Miners are just going to be about who gets hot at the right time. Today it was Elijah Jones in the end of the first half. He gives you crucial minutes. And so it's about who's going to be able to give you what you need when you need it. So I don't think it's just and one answer is the answer.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Alberto, and that's the thoughts right there from the man himself, Alberto Urueta. But yeah, we're right here on Minor Talk, and it's brought to you by Jack in the Box. And speaking of Minor Talk right here, let's go back out to the phone lines. We have Milkman. I know Milkman is ecstatic after the win tonight. Milkman, what's going on?
Hey, gentlemen. The game was phenomenal. I'm so glad I went. It was amazing. My man Otis Frazier, OF3, he was on fire. Yeah, it's been a good season so far, and I want to echo what everybody else has said about the crowd. This one's going directly out to the crowd. Now, obviously, the fans that I want to talk to are probably not listening to this show because they were probably there. But I'm telling you, fans, there's no more excuses. You say you want a winner. I understand we've had some down years and you didn't want to go out. I get it. Everybody was tired of the down years. This team's 11-3, folks. Get out to the Don. I don't understand why we're playing the preseason conference favorites. And we got 4,000 people there? Come on, no more excuses, fans. Now, I understand, you know, the UTEP hasn't started for their semester yet and yada, 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 so I get it. The students weren't there and everything. Soon there's not going to be any excuses, okay? So, fans, again, I just want to say you need to get out to the Don and support this team. You got a winner here, and there's no telling what they could do on their home court if they had a packed house. No telling.
No, man, that's some fire right there. That's some passion for Milkman. And we're talking about 46, 47 or so around there, Milkman. But, I mean, let's say we have a crystal ball, right, and the Miners are don't want to get too ahead of myself. I hope Golding's not listening. I know the next game is the biggest one. But let's jump ahead to the Battle of I-10 in basketball. And you know, just, you know, look into the future and say that UTEP gets past Sam Houston, and now they're riding this winning streak. Not only in Conference USA, but of course it will be like 5, I think, or 6, something along the lines of that for the Miners. But for the Aggies, Battle of I-10 in basketball, 2-0 in Conference USA play, Milkman. You think? Give me two answers. What do you think they deserve, and what do you think they'll have realistically?
At the NMSU game?
At the NMSU game, yeah.
I'm going to predict, and this is going off of last year because, you know, they weren't doing that great during the season. Obviously, at the end, they did pretty well. But I'm gonna predict 10,000 for the NMSU game. So, and that's, you know, obviously because we're playing our rivals. And, you know, I hope I don't have egg on my face. But if I do, then we got bigger issues because – if this team is, you know, still winning after these next two games, I mean, come on, fans.
Yeah.
Come on.
You heard it from the man himself, Milkman. You are the best. Thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate you guys. He's talking about pushing 10K out at the Haskins Center for Miners versus Aggies. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say it's unrealistic. I know that the chances would be slimmer than they are wider. But, I mean, we're talking about Battle of I-10. The Aggies might bring, at the very least, what, 600 to 700 on their end? And let's say the Miners are hot. Let's say they bring in 83. Let's say 73. Let's just pretend 73. We're talking about 8,000. That's near the area of double the attendance for the conference opener. George, how much louder can it be than it was tonight, where it did seem loud at points?
Yeah, I think it could be way lighter, obviously, right? Double the amount of people nearly, right? So you're talking about there. And then you get the back and forth from the NMSU fans and the UTEP fans, mm-hmm. right? And NMSU's playing well. They just defeated the defending regular season Conference USA champs at home, right, in Cruces. So they're not going to be a pushover either. There's going to be a lot of tape now on UTEP's defense, and now the task and the challenge will be how can they figure it out. So it's going to be intense, man. Of course, it's a rival. But I'm a little bit worried about the student section still. The semester doesn't start until the week after. So maybe they'll finally be in town. I don't know. Maybe they'll wake up and show up, but I don't know. I'm calling the student section out. They better show up for that.
Man, and those tickets are free. I mean, if we get into logistics of it, technically not. But, I mean, take advantage of what you're paying if you're out there. Zay, let's say 7,999. Are you in on the over or in on the under?
Oh, yeah, over for sure. I mean, last year they hit 10,000 for the NMSU game. And like Milkman said, they were not amazing in the regular season. So if we're talking about 2-0 NMSU in conference play, 2-0 UTEP coming off the La Tech, and then this if they beat Sam Houston, I mean, I don't want to get crazy, but they could like really, really – they would have an opportunity to sell that game out.
Yeah.
And I think UTEP Athletics would have to do their part, right? You know, they like to get at least one game, you know, a year where the Don is packed out or the Sun Bowl is packed out.
Yeah.
You saw it with Southern Utah in the Sun Bowl. Last year it was at NMSU game, Santa Barbara game. That one was packed out too. So I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I really think a sellout would be possible for that NMSU game.
You know what? I don't think I'm buying in just a little bit more. And the reason why is you brought up something interesting, how usually one game a year or once a year, right, they have a packed house. And I'm reeling back some of these years, guys. You mentioned Southern Utah, North Texas in football, which was right before, or I think it was right after UTSA, which obviously we know who UTSA was in football. For back over to basketball, North Texas in basketball. I mean, year in and year out, it seems like they have these high attended games across various sports. And obviously, we could talk about the big one too, volleyball. They've been a monster these last couple of years. So, I mean, if that's based off of hype at the time, or also to you know, the way the team's performing. Who's to say that they can't have more than one in basketball? So definitely some great thoughts there. Let's go back over to the phone lines. And as a matter of fact, before we get over to the phone lines, let's go ahead and load up a legal ID. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. We'll be right back in 10 seconds on Minor Talk right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Streaming worldwide through the 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
600 ESPN El Paso
is KROD El Paso, a Town Square Media station.
And we're back on Minor Talk. It's brought to you by Jack in the Box. It has there's 15 locations in El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is the perfect spot before and after every game. There's one right down the road from us, guys. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but whenever, you know, I got a little bit of the munchies and stuff, I'll stop by, come on over here. Sometimes after the show, I'll go out there to Jack in the Box, and you know, my favorite is the green chili burger. Oh man, so good. But I'm getting hungry. But I want to talk about a team who was hungry today, that being the Miners with their 70-60 win over La Tech. As promised, we're going back over to the phone lines, and we have Brian. You're in on Miner Talk. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Good win for the Miners. Even though, statistically speaking, outside of the turnover margin, we probably should have lost this game, considering how we had a lower field goal percentage than... What's up?
How?
Well, the main issue is three-point percentage and field goal percentage were lower than La Tech, Well, what really helped us was those 3 turnovers compared to last year's 20.
Yeah, no, the turnovers were huge for the Miners, and not only them on defense, but them taking care of the ball themselves, Brian. I mean, this team, just to be so efficient, and we're not just talking about play from one guy, play from two guys. We're talking about all over the floor, everybody taking good care of the ball. The only turnovers when it comes to the Miners, when we're really looking at it for big players is or big play time, let me say that, big play time, rather, would be Terrell and Barnes, and each of them only had one. They had way more assists combined than they had turnovers, and they had more steals than they had turnovers as well. So, no, you're absolutely right. Turnovers on both sides of the sword. The Miners able to do well on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. It's a good win for the Miners as we have momentum going into the San Francisco State game and the Battle of I-10. I'll tell you, Milk Man was right. Last year, the Dawn was rocking in the Battle of I-10.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we can make it happen again, because if we continue on this hot streak, these UTEP Miners could be one of our better teams. And look, I say that a lot, but it's true. Look at the good wins that we're getting right now.
Yeah, no, today's a good day. I mean, the Miners defeat another, in my opinion, a quality opponent, an opponent who you got to earn that victory. The last one that we saw, obviously, was against Yale. I'm not going to count the game right before the end of the year, but the one against Yale was a huge one. And, Brian, thank you so much, man. We appreciate you always getting in. I mean, UTEP's forcing turnovers, and they're not turning it over on their end. But I know we had Alberto kind of kind of lose his mind over there. I mean, I understand it, though. Like, if you're stat watching, that could happen. But no, man, I agree. I thought they played well in more than just forcing turnovers enough to win this game.
No, I think they do a bunch of stuff, despite the whole rebounding thing, that leads you to believe that they deserve to win the game. You know, they outscored in the points in the paint, and that's huge. Their ability to do that despite not winning the rebounding battle, that's huge to me. And I think a little later after this next caller, we should address maybe some of the attendance issues. I have something to say about
all
that,
right.
But let's get to this caller first.
All right. No, let's do it. Matter of fact, before we get over to the lines, I know we got Leon. He's on the line right now. We'll get to you in just a bit. I want to go back over to X and Twitter, and I went back a little too far. That was an Augustine tweet about Frazier underperforming on December 21st. So that's so last year.
Pre-Christmas.
That's pre-Christmas, yeah. Let's go over to X, and we have a Shannon Sharpay says, very nice win. Very nice win, team, for the UTEP Miners. And, of course, getting back over to it, we have Leo underscore Miners fan. He says, great win tonight. Otis Frazier the third, the Hellraiser. Kalu, keep working on that hook shot. It's a nearly impossible shot to block. Keep working. 1033. He knows. This guy's a diehard.
He
says,
knows.
Pack the Dawn. Everyone bring the extra people with you to the Dawn. # Miner Talk. Good night, all. And he has the pick emoji. Pinky, he's our guy. He says, great win. Great Miner win. Defend the Dawn. He's all in. He's always all in. If there's one fan in attendance, it's going to be him. If there's two fans, because I know two who will be there regardless. That's Miner Pat and also Pinky. And we go over to some more thoughts. This from Aaron Peterson. First Miner Talk post of the year. I love it. It says, great game by the Miners. One of the best defenses in the country. Absolutely suffocating. As far as the crowd goes, not enough fans, but we're loud at times. Can't be charging $50 for tickets for the 25-ish row. All right. I mean, I'll be honest. I haven't been to the Haskins Center in a while for UTEP men's basketball. It's because I'm always back here. But, I mean, man, 25 is a lot. But I'm pretty old school. So that's just – I think everything's expensive. So don't mind what I'm saying.
This is touching on what I wanted to touch on.
All right. Yeah, matter of fact, before we get over to Leon, lay it on us, man.
I think these tickets are too expensive. These tickets are $50, like all 27 rows up.
And is that
$50 a pop?
A pop. So for one.
So for one, they're $50. A family of four is $200 to get in, and the concessions are even more expensive. When is a family of four going to go?
Yeah, and then they're resales. So this is on our season ticket holders,
no,
guys.
No, this is on Ticketmaster. This
yeah,
is
that's
straight
what I'm
up
saying.
On on UTEP's Ticketmaster, they're $50.
Oh, okay.
27 rows up.
Mm. Wow.
27 rows up there.
Yeah, he's right.
$50. A family of four is never going to go.
Hey, I got tickets. We're going to the Haskins Center. I spent $250. Oh, cool. We're going to go see Bad Bunny. Nah, we're going to see UTEP. Northern New Mexico.
At that $50 price point,
man,
it's
going
to be super hard to get your average El Pasoan in the Don House.
Fair enough. Yeah.
That's heck, he's
right. Man, you eliminate so many El Pasoans. And I'm telling you, just I'm being as honest as I can be. And it's and I'm telling you because it makes me sad.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm telling you. I hope you hear the sadness in my voice. $50, I just checked it out today.
Man,
that's way too much. And then,
you know,
not going to happen.
For me, like, UTEP will release these, like, $9.15 tickets, and they'll market it. And then, like, you check the tickets out, like, you're, like, behind the scoreboard. You can't even see the game.
Oh,
like, you're watching it from, like, the TVs behind the scoreboard. It's, like, it just feels like a slap in the face for, you know, real diehard UTEP fans. Sometimes, you know, they're not going to have the money. Like you said, $50 for decent tickets, they're not going to have that type of money. And, you know, we get on them, we get on UTEP fans for not showing up. But at the same time, I mean, those ticket prices are ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
And they're the same prices when UTEP is 14 and 18, right? And then it's just, it's disappointing. So I agree with Alberto.
No, man, that's interesting. See, I wasn't aware of that. Like I said, I'm always back here, but I mean, that would drive me away for sure. I mean, and the game's streamable too on ESPN Plus. That's not the exact reason people aren't going. I mean, both can be true, but man, 50 is crazy. That's a ridiculous number. But let's get over to the back over to the phone lines. We have Leon on the line. Leon, what's going on, man? Welcome to Minor Talk.
Hey, happy New Year, gentlemen.
Happy New Year, Leon. What's your take from the game?
Well, I mean, I got a way to fix the attendance. And one is, how about we make Milkman the PA announcer and get rid of the lady that keeps yapping during the game? I don't know why we have two announcers, man. I really don't get
Monica.
It.
Oh, Monica.
I don't get it. And I don't think a lot of fans like it either, in my opinion. And I've been a season ticket holder forever, but just my opinion. All right? On a prior note, I don't know, maybe something that's going to make you a little bit more happy. How about we give credit to number 33, Mr. Jones, the first half?
Yeah.
Who really picked up some key moments, and we've been waiting for that for a while from this young man. And it was great to see that when they got into foul trouble, he was able to step in and kind of handle the Bacho situation. I was really impressed with that and just the pressure of the guards. It's great to have depth And it was great to see that even though those stats, I was asking the same thing, man, the stats looked way off. And then just to realize the hustle that this team has, the pressure they put on, and having key contributors just like Mr. Jones tonight was great to see. But I still say let's make Milkman the PA. You guys have a good night.
Hey, Leon, thank you so much, man. We appreciate all your thoughts. Yeah, Milkman is incredible. He's always got some not only some good takes, but he's passionate about the Miners, and he watches every single game. He goes far beyond the numbers and, you know, observes it both ways. I mean, he can observe it like a basketball purist, but obviously he'll also observe it as a Miners fan. So, no, some good thoughts right there from Leon. I'll be honest about the PA announcer. I don't really know too much about it, but I do want to touch on one thing. That's the DJ. And I think Jason Craig, it's got to be louder, man. No, I'm joking. That's our guy, Jason Craig. Shout out to you. He had messaged me earlier today. And nah, man, I mean, that's part of why some people go to just to get that fun experience. So shout out to our guy, JC. Happy New Year to you, man. We appreciate all that you do and all that you've done as well. And speaking of the phone lines, I'm going to try and get line two live on air, and I already did, so I feel confident. But we have Charlie Dodger jumping in on Minor Talk. Dodger, what's going on?
Yo, what up? What up to everybody right now? Where's Adrian? Where's he at?
He's still on his vacation, man. He's celebrating his 2-year anniversary. So
just like every other UTEP fan. What up, man? I thought everybody was going to show up for this one, man, but whatever. It is what it is, man. But I will say, at the section that I was sitting in, or I mean, it's not the section I bought, but you know,
my man,
you know how we do it in the 915, you know, but we were lit, bro. And I saw kids there, which is a good thing, man. I wasn't even going to talk about that, but I was like, I saw a family there, and not just one, but other ones with little, you know, young Miner fans in the making. And I was like, that's what I like to see, man. That's what I like to see. Let's go. And it was a good game. And to tell you the truth, I am disappointed in the fans. I would like for you guys to tell me what the attendance was. I never got it.
Yeah, 4,692. So just around 4,700.
We were thinking 6,500, me and my buddies. And me and my buddies went, but we went on a separate thing. You know, they were doing a family affair, and I was doing a family affair. Whatever. But it was lit. I kind of just chimed in. I mean, I just kind of tuned in, and I heard people were like, oh, the crowd. And I was like, yeah, that, I'm disappointed in the crowd attendance. But we were lit, bro. Once we got a little lubricated and, you know, everything
and
started,
medicated.
Started doing their thing, you know, we were into it. And then, of course, always this UTEP team kind of starts off slow, man. And it was, what, 6-4? After 5 minutes of play, you're like, come on, man. Like, I didn't want to see a rock fight, you know? I wanted to see a knife fight, you know? But it was good. I like the defense. We got Otis Frazier and Camper balling out, which, you know, you would think it would be spread out a little bit more. But they stepped up, man, and they took the leadership role, and they ended up doing their thing. As a fan, I mean, obviously the W is what we wanted. La Tech being the preseason favorite, I was circling this game. I was definitely going to be there hyping it up with me and my buddies, and they showed up, and I showed up, and we all showed up. Not going to talk about the overall attendance, but the people I was sitting next to and in the section that I ended up in, we were lit, bro. We were lit. Everybody was down. I saw one, you know, old-timer there on his own, and we high-fived, and he was into it. And I don't know what it takes for it to get around. I'm an El Paso native, you know, born and raised.
What do you think they got to do in order to bring that up? Because I know that some people have talked about, obviously, more people should be at the games, and I agree that this team is, you know, is fun to watch. But when ticket prices are $50 and such, what would you say? Other than
I got my tickets for $14, bro. Seriously.
Really? Okay. Where'd you get them at?
Really. Ticketmaster.
Okay. Wow.
Ticketmaster. And my brother bought him, and he's a stickler for, hey, you're going to pay me back? You're going to pay me back? And I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it, bro.
So you know for sure how much it is.
And we're both good for it. Say what?
No, so you know for sure how much it is because you had to pay back.
Well, we also are El Pasoans born and raised, and we kind of know, you know, buy the cheapest, and then we know it's not going to sell out, and then we move.
All right.
But if it was, we were there at the UTEP Arizona game years ago, and we knew that one was going to be packed, and we bought those tickets at the prices, and we knew that we couldn't move. So, I mean, you can do it, guys. You don't have to sit in the nosebleeds. Nobody's going to get their nose bled if you just know what's up. I don't know if I should be saying that or promoting that, but. Like, so we got our tickets, and it wasn't the 915 tickets. He was like, no, I only had four. We got the $14 tickets, and we went, and he got them yesterday. I don't know what people are talking about. I don't. I'm not going to disagree with them, but you can move, bro. You can move, you know, and the usher is just there to just, you know. I don't know.
No, to make sure people don't get too crazy from jumping out on the courts and, you know, ending up on FitFam. Well, I think we just kind of leave it at that in terms of, you know, what they're there for. But no, man, we had Charlie Dodger jumping in, and he says he found his tickets for $14, and we just got this in from Alberto saying the closest $14 seat is row 35, and I think that's, I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but usually when there's a graduation and I go to the Haskins Center, I'm kind of in that area. Does seem a little bit far, but I mean, hey, you do what you got to do, I guess. Just be good at it, you know. There's a saying like, be good, and if you can't be good, be good at it.
Yeah, I mean, he knows the method. You know, there's hacks, everything. I just call it the method. And I won't say whether I did that or not as a kid, or me and my dad did that or not as a kid. But no, man, I will say that. What? Yeah, we definitely did that as a kid. You know, UTEP was really, really not good when I was like in fourth, fifth grade. And we would get the nosebleed tickets and we would like go all the way down to like almost the first row because, I mean, no one's there. You can do it. And I'm not like encouraging people to do it, but like, like you say, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. So, yeah, the expensive tickets, you know, I still think that, yeah, $14 for tickets, row 35, like, that's just insane. That's just insane.
Yeah,
like,
row 27, $22.
Like, come on.
What does that do to a family?
You know, come on.
And then we're not even talking about concessions, and that's what's added on top. You know, you take your little kid. The little kid's going to want something. So you remember the now defunct Mario Mocha, actually, last year during football, he cut concession prices. I remember that was a big selling piece that that you could get a deal for X, Y, and Z. So I think that, yeah, something needs to be done, and it's a little pricey out there.
No, yeah. No, I mean, shoot, there's all kinds of stuff going on, a lot of variables to a problem, I guess, that people are trying to solve. So, yeah, man, we got the take right there from Charlie Dodger. Do your thing, man. No shame in your game. Let's go over to Twitter X and some more tweets to get to. This from Joe Chacon. Shout out to Joe Chacon. Happy New Year, my man. He says, geez, y'all, glasses half full. Good teams find ways to win. Okay, shot poorly from the field, but countered with no turnovers. Keep at it and was able to put it away. Kept at it and was able to put it away. Pues vamos. Hashtag repping from El Chuco now. Hashtag Happy New Year. Hashtag Sal is my pal. Ooh, hashtag Zay all the way. Hashtag Albert Chuco. Hashtag Brock is my OG. Hashtag Minor Talk. Shout out to you, Joe Chuckle. You always have some good stuff. This one from Brian says, La Tech defeated. Sam Houston State and NMSU are next. All around fantastic quality win for these Miners. There does need to be a solution for attendance issues. I didn't go, but shut up. But all around, he says, but all around, good stuff. Hashtag, or not hashtag, but UTEP, don't bankrupt me with tickets. Hashtag Minor Talk. This from Javier Ramirez at Jammin_Javi. Man, that's a cool name. He says, how awesome would it be if the UTEP marketing team would invest in a couple billboards around the city? I feel like the average El Pasoan does not even know when a game's going on. Billboards, what do you guys think?
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like that might be a little bit of a stretch. Come on, you got to be plugged into your community. It's not like you have to have your ear to the ground here to know that there's a game every other, like a Tuesday, a Thursday, and a Saturday. I feel like that's just, it takes two clicks to find out when UTEP is playing.
But do people care enough to even like click one time for UTEP? I think that's the issue.
That's a good point.
I don't know. I was just thinking of this, and this is just me being, you know, somebody who's not in marketing and stuff, but let's just say as a consumer or slash potential consumer, mm-hmm. I just like you guys. As a matter of fact, I'll say this. You guys look at your phone more than five times a day, guaranteed, right? Yes. Maybe put a, you know, sponsor an ad and you have 10 to 15 second highlights of your craziest dunk so mm-hmm. far. And then obviously whoever you're playing next and then, you know, put the game in time there. You don't even really need, you know, in terms of a flat out exposure, being on TV, having those commercials out on TV and stuff. People are going to be on their phones and stuff. Instagram ad, Facebook ad, X, you know, TikTok, whatever. Maybe they do that already. I'm not too sure, but yeah. I'm just guessing. This would be a good way to go ahead and get more people out there.
I think that's a great idea. Start with that and maybe do some promo with the tickets instead of selling $50 row 27 ticket prices. You know, I don't know, do a buy one, get one half off. You know what I'm saying? Like get these people interested in like getting a deal.
Marketing idea, guys, just popped up. The motto this year has often been 1033.
Right.
Tickets for
1033. That'd be great,
what
man.
What would you rather have?
In a 10-hour and 33-minute period to lock in.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I love it.
I mean, hey, it's an idea.
I'm with that.
Yeah, you get 10 minutes. 10 minutes, and whoever buys, or you can get as many $10 tickets as you
Or limit four, maybe. That way everybody gets a shot.
Yes.
Five.
I mean, hey, these are just ideas.
Yeah, we're just throwing it out here.
Just throw it out there and see if it sticks.
We're trying to solve these attendance problems here that have now become glaring at 11-3.
We just love UTEP basketball and are passionate about every aspect of the department.
I will say, how come everybody got a hashtag except me? That's crazy. Zay got one. Yuga Sal is my pal. That's Alberto got one. What is that about?
We gotta come up with that. That's our goal.
No,
is to
just
do
messing
it.
With
it. UTEP, this is something we need you to help us solve. We'll help you guys out with marketing. We need a hashtag for our guy George.
Yeah, I feel left out.
It's all right, man. We got you. We'll find something. We'll find something pretty cool. Back over here to X and Twitter. This one, let me see how far back I am. There we go. This one from Esteban. Man, he's passionate. He said, stop the three-point crap at 600 ESPN El Paso. I think he's referring to one of the calls right there in terms of them not shooting well today. This one from Tristan Pence. It says, tremendous defensive effort from the Miners tonight. Elijah Jones was really good in the first half. Frazier dominated in the second half. Stat of the night, 20 La Tech turnovers and UTEP only 3. Miner fans need to show up in force over these next 2 home games. Now, he's absolutely right, and not only because of the way they've been playing, but because of who they're playing, too. So that's crucial there. Another one from Esteban, 15-foot jump shots will win more games. I mean, he's not wrong, but, I mean, out-rebounding your opponent is going to win more games. So, I mean, there's a lot of things, but I don't know, man. I would not sacrifice a three-point shooting for a mid-range.
Zay saying no because the math is obviously
– get him.
It, right? It, the math says no.
Yeah,
and we know that now.
The sad thing about today's game is the mid-range jumper is gone.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a low-quality shot. And people are going to look – I mean, they're probably going to attack me on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I don't really care. You know, I play basketball. I watch basketball. I'm not going to say I understand basketball better than other people because I think basketball, you know, people watch it and view it in different ways. But, I mean, the analytics say, I mean, taking a contested mid-range shot like 15, 16 feet away from the basket, you're going to miss – a lot of those, just as you're going to miss a lot of threes, you know, but at least with three-pointers, you get 3 points. You know?
Even just the raw numbers, right? It takes 33% to make that three-point shot worth it. And I think for the two-pointers, right, it's 50. So that's a huge discrepancy. And even, and we'll just say uncontested. So, like, it's just you with a nice look, right? And so, yeah, the math has taught us now that unfortunately is the case. And I'm old school, man. I hate seeing the mid-range go. I love when Corey Kemper pulls up from there, you know.
Yeah.
And he's efficient, so he can make it work. But, yeah, it's tough, man.
No, yeah, I think I'm kind of, like, in the middle because when I was becoming a fan of basketball, it was kind of that transition period, you know, where Carmelo Anthony and LeBron were rookies coming into the league. And that's where you started to see kind of, like, mid-range still be relevant. But obviously three-pointers come in. But you just said something that popped in. You said something that popped something up in my mind, how you kind of hate seeing the mid-range go away. And I agree. I think, like, when it's down to the wire and shots are harder to come by, I don't know. That just happens to be one of the shots, at least in the last couple of years, that opens up a bit more. But I used to hate seeing a team in transition and then dish it out to the side and the team shooting a three. Like, what the hell are you doing? That's the dumbest shot ever. And now it's pretty much expected for a lot of teams.
It used to be a bad shot. Unless you were the 6 seconds or less Suns, that used to be a bad shot. You remember that team?
Like
the 04-05 Suns that would just jack up shots 6 seconds or less, right? Now, it's not bad unless you're shooting. I mean, UTEP was bad today, right? 21%. Yeah, at that point, maybe, stop taking threes, which they did. But, yeah, I mean, the math just tells us a totally different story nowadays.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the same thing in the NBA. Like, nobody – I understand it. Nobody wants to see a team chuck up 29 threes and only hit 6. Like, that's not enjoyable to watch. Like, I understand that, right? But they're chucking up 29 threes for a reason because, who knows, next game UTEP can go, like, 15-29, and all of a sudden everybody's saying, wow, keep shooting the ball. They're so good at shooting the ball. It's really just day and night with three-point shooting, and I think that, you know, if you're a guy like Corey Kemper, you know, like George said, take that shot. You're really good at it. Mm-hmm. You're efficient at it, but I don't want, like, David Terrell taking a mid-range shot. I don't want, like, De'Von Barnes pulling up. Yeah. He's, like, 5'9", trying to jump over, like, a 6'5 defender. Like, no.
It makes it a tougher shot.
Yeah. So I don't think it should, like, I understand that, yes, we should take some mid-range every now and then, but to say, like, don't take any threes and take, like, full mid-range, like, no.
You're not going to win that way. Yeah. You're just not. Nah, and UTEP needed every single one of the 6 threes today.
Yeah.
You know.
And I mean, guys were able to contribute in various spots. I mean, Elijah Jones even getting one.
He got one top of the key. That's his shot. That is a good shot, right? And he was, what, 1 for 4, 1 for 3 on three?
1 for 3, yeah.
So that, he was worth it. You know what I mean? You cash that in if you're an analytics guy.
Yeah, and it's funny because we're talking about this, right, and the way that the game has changed, and kind of reminds me a little bit. I had to do a quick search just to verify, but that money ball method, right, that the Oakland A's used in baseball, where it was kind of like, hey, guys who are on base more, I want a lot of those guys on team because it's going to give that competitive advantage. And kind of, it's apples and oranges, but kind of equating it into the three-point shot, right? Like, A, it's worth more, teams are shooting it more, and there's a lot more better shooters, so you have a chance. Like, you, obviously not every time it's going to work, but if you average it out, you might get, like, you know, 0.12 points more possession. If that's what works, I mean, then A, why not? But no, let's go ahead and do this, guys, because I know we've been on for a bit. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll return to Mind to Talk in just a bit. We will have some awards to hand out as well. We'll do the Win Supply El Paso Hot Hand of the Game Award. We'll also do the Oscar Arrieta Agency Player of the Game Award, and we'll do all of that and more when we come back to Mind to Talk. We'll also talk about Sam Houston. I know we were jumping ahead to New Mexico State, but Sam Houston deserves that respect, you know, of being a formidable opponent. We'll give a quick preview and our thoughts as to what the Miners need to do for a victory on Saturday. So, yeah, that's all coming up next right here on Miner Talk. And it's presented by Jack in the Box with 15 locations in El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is the perfect spot before and after every game. You're listening to Miner Talk on 600 ESPN El Paso. And welcome back to Miner Talk. It's right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. And Miner Talk is brought to you by Jack in the Box. 15 locations in El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is the perfect spot before and after every game. And yeah, UTEP coming away with the win today over Louisiana Tech, 70-60 out at the Haskins Center. And the Miners opening up Conference USA with the victory. Their first time scoring, I can't remember the exact number, north of 60 something plus. I'll just put it that way. In like their last, 10 games, something like that, against Louisiana Tech. So that just shows like the history of UTEP, Louisiana Tech, and oddly enough, right, they finally get out of the 60s, but they land flat at 70. I don't know if that's like, you know, just the way it works in this series. It's usually a defensive matchup back and forth. That's what it was for the first 5 minutes or so. Both teams showing their defensive prowess, but the Miners able to basically just out-physical and be more aggressive than Louisiana Tech from beginning to end as well. There wasn't one moment or one stretch of the game, I'll say, where Louisiana Tech looked like they were going to overpower the Miners just in terms of second, third, and even fourth efforts. That's what it comes down to. And UTEP was on top of that tonight for a good chunk of it. And because of all of that good stuff that the Miners are able to do, makes it a bit easier when it comes to deciding some awards. Sometimes it's not easy because we'll have 4 or 5 guys go off and it's like, man, who is it going to go to? A lot of guys pitched in. But we're going to go ahead and hand out some awards. We have our minds made up, and I don't know about you guys, but you guys listening, rather, but we have it. Let's see if it matches up, and we'll start off with the Win Supply Hot Hand of the Game. You can visit them online at winsupplyelpaso.com. That's right, Win Supply El Paso, Hot Hand of the Game. Zay, who are we going with?
Yeah, for the Hot Hand of the Game, you know, like you said, it was pretty, you know, unanimous. We all agreed and understood who it was going to be. That's Corey Camper Jr. He goes 17 points, 6 of 14 shooting, 1 of 3 from the field, perfect 4 for 4 from the line. And the real big one, 4 steals for Corey. 39 minutes, yeah. 4 steals. He was on the floor almost the whole game. All in all, really, really good game from Corey Camper.
Yeah, and a guy who's been on the floor majority of the game for majority of the season as well. Corey Camper Jr. is your Wind Supply El Paso hot hand of the game. Visit them online at windsupplyelpaso.com. Up next, it's the big one, the Oscar Arrieta Player of the Game. You can check them out online at oscararietaagency.com. And we got our mind made up too, George. Who are we going with for the Oscar Arrieta Agency Player of the Game?
Yeah, who else could we go with but other than Otis Frazier III? 9 for 18 shooting, 21 points, 2 for 9 from 3, but that's all right, as we've talked about before. Double-double, 21 points, 11 rebounds, 7 of them on the offensive end. I mean, grinding down there, yep. Following his own shot. Getting and ones, 3 assists, no turnovers, 2 steals in 32 minutes. I mean, that is a complete game if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, no, you got to see Otis Frazier III in the mix of a lot of stuff. If there's a highlight, you know, let's say there's 2 highlights, right, every 5 minutes of the game, you're going to see Frazier doing something, and it's usually something different. He's going to drain a shot from long range. He's going to grab an offensive rebound. He's going to get a physical defensive rebound. He's going to dish out the ball. He might even get a steal or two. I mean, what is this guy not doing out there? And that's expected of him, too. I do want to say that. This is a guy who showed a lot of promise last year, and going into this year is kind of owning that moniker. It's like, I'm that dude on this team, and there's a lot of guys who can do that. I think I'm more bought in than I was last couple episodes. I'm like, there's only 3 guys. Now I'm starting to see it. I see the vision, guys. I do want to put that out there. But no, Frazier, the pinnacle of it all tonight. 21 points, 50% from the floor, 11 rebounds, gets his double-double as mentioned. Only 2 fouls, a very physical guy who only got 2 fouls. That's very impressive. 3 boards to his credit, 2 steals in 32 minutes. He was out there. He was effective. And more importantly, he is the Oscar Arrieta Agency Player of the Game. Check them out online at oscararietaagency.com. We handed out those awards, but Alberto, I do think tonight's performance from the team warrants more than just those two. How about an honorable mention? Who are we going to go with for an honorable mention?
I love the way Devin Barnes played today. He went 11 points. He went 2 of 6 from the 3-point. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. I really liked what he did. Devin Barnes, he started as well. So
yeah,
great game for him.
Yeah, all in 27 minutes as well. So, I mean, these are just a handful of guys out of a great team effort who happened to go out there and dominate. I mean, I think we could say that, too. I know it's a 10-point win. It may have been closer at times than that, but UTEP pretty much dominated with their physicality today and en route to that 10-point win over Louisiana Tech. So after the first leg of 3 when it comes to the Conference USA home stretch to open things up for the Miners, up next is Sam Houston, the Bearcats, who currently now are 7-6. They entered tonight 7-7, I should say. They entered tonight 7-6, going into Cruces to take on the Aggies. They wind up dropping that game. It was a close one, 75-71. They had the lead at points in the second half. They outscored the Aggies by 4 in the second half. But it's still not enough. They do drop it to New Mexico State. And guess what? The Miners got them after they get Sam Houston here on Saturday. So that's going to be a very, very interesting one. But the Bearcats, just taking a look at what's been going on for them this year. We mentioned it, 7-7 overall. Looking at some of the games, they did drop one to Baylor. It was an ugly one, but I think that's expected. Baylor ranked 12th at the time, 104-67. That was after their win against Tarleton, who the Miners took on as well. But looking at some of the other games here, I'm going to look at some more losses. Indiana, that's expected. It was a 97-71 game. After that, a 2-game stretch. Texas Southern, all right, it's respectable, but St. Thomas of Texas, I mean, that's Northern New Mexico territory, so I'm not going to buy too much of that. They lose to Pitt 110-78. They win another one against Dallas, similar to Northern New Mexico, and of course they drop this one. So bit of a wild card. They can allow a lot of points. Defensively, I don't think they're similar to who they were last year, but I mean, this is going to be a game that they have ingrained in their mind. Doesn't matter who returns. Doesn't matter who didn't return. This is a team that, you know, if you're a Sam Houston in, you have a bad taste in your mouth after the Conference USA game last season. But what are we thinking, guys? Miners, Sam Houston, give us the game plan for you, Zay.
Yeah, you know, it'll be a good game. I think that Sam Houston, obviously, they have a bad taste in their mouths. They were the number one seed, you know, at Conference USA regular season champions. They get upset by UTEP in that semifinal last year. So they're going to want their get back. I don't know how many of those players are back on the team from last year. But, you know, preseason, I was looking at Sam Houston. I was just thinking, you know, they're just not as good, right? They're just not as good as last year. And that's evident in, one, their record and how bad they've lost some of these games. And, you know, was Sam Houston hurting for money? I mean, they played a lot of paycheck games, it seems like, right? I saw Indiana, Pitt. There were a couple of Power 5 teams on that schedule for them. So, like you said, they're a wild card. I really don't know what to expect from them, but I do know that this is going to be a hard-fought, gritty game, and UTEP's going to need to execute. They're going to need to enjoy this win today and get right back to work tomorrow.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, a team that the Miners obviously were able to knock off in the tournament last year, but a team that they can, you know, kind of catapult themselves into the upper ranks of Conference USA after beating, so to speak, right? And it kind of starts from that point last year. Before we get to your guys' thoughts as well, just kind of looking at the schedule. We'll run down it one by one, but just kind of looking at who was on last year and who's still on this year. And granted, I should have done more research, but let's just get straight to it. Number one that I see who's returning is C.J. Beaumont. He's a guard, a 6'8" guard as well. Last year, a freshman. This year, he's obviously a sophomore, but a guard out of Florida. Looking further on, I don't see another one short up. Another one is Marcus Boykin, a 6'1" guard as well. Going back over to it, let's see, Damon Nichols, Bryce Cook. Nicholas, rather, he's returning, not Cook. So what, that's, we're at three maybe. Jaden Ray. Honestly, guys, it may be about five guys. I mean, 4 to 5 guys returning from last year. So a completely different look. But if you're the Miners going into this one, right, obviously you get that win in the tournament last year, but you're returning a lot and you're facing a lot of new faces. Maybe the Miners have the upper hand going into this one.
Yeah, maybe they do, but you have to look at it. Sam Houston is still the defending champs. They're still a little bit dangerous, right? And, man, they're looking down the barrel now at a tough Conference USA. Can they afford to lose two games here on the road against NMSU and then UTEP? They're going to be playing for a lot, and this conference could get away from them quickly, considering how deep it is, how tough it is. With that being said, it could work the other way, right? And everybody could just cannibalize each other and everybody could have a shot at the end there. But I definitely don't think UTEP can sleep on them. Yeah, there's definitely some more continuity, as you mentioned, for this team going in. And maybe UTEP could expose that. I don't know how much continuity La Tech had this year from last year with these
the
teams.
The main pieces, yeah.
Yeah, so, and obviously, I think with the addition of Bacho, right?
Yeah, well, he was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, so we'll see. I think UTEP just goes out and plays its game and does what it does and exposes them defensively.
Yeah. I mean, Alberto, a big one coming up. Obviously, the bread and the sandwich, so to speak, of this three-game stretch. I mean, the Miners getting Louisiana Tech tonight, right? But Sam Houston coming up. I mean, how are you feeling about this one?
Well, you gotta feel good on the Miners, especially how they've been playing coming into this one and how this game turned out. And you know, you look over to the Sam Houston and New Mexico State game, and for some reason, Bearcats only play 7 guys, and that's extremely weird, especially in conference play, tight game. You'd think you'd get more guys in rotation. Josiah Hammonds only gets 5 minutes of play, and Marcus Boykin, who you had mentioned, he gets the bulk of the minutes off the bench with 24. So it's going to be a weird game. Early conference game. They obviously really want to win this one. You can't blame them for that one. So I'm just expecting another nitty gritty game like the one we saw today.
Yeah, and it's funny because you mentioned nitty gritty, and I can't remember if it was a Tarleton or Jackson State, but it was a it was a closer game than people had thought. They were creeping back, and both games kind of mirrored each other. I think it was Tarleton. But the Miners wind up scoring 60-plus in that one, and people are like, it was an ugly win. And I'm like, I think it was prettier than we think. I'm old school, guys. I think of ugly like south of 50. Like, 55 is high scoring in an ugly game, right? And, yeah. And I mean, just even thinking back to like Joe Golding and his ACU days, I mean, it didn't even matter if they were dropping 49.
Yeah.
They're holding you to 35 or something like
42,
that.
42-37 or some nasty score. Yeah,
it looks like a good football score, bad basketball score. You know, so that's funny right there. But, man, for Sam Houston, you know, definitely a team that has – you know, extreme amount of guards on it, but as Alberto mentioned, runs pretty short. Zay, I mean, UTEP kind of, I don't want to say matching up well, because, I mean, we'll see what the matchups are going to be, but in terms of style of play, if we're just going off of a roster outlook, a lot of guards, not as many bigs, should be a fun back and forth one.
Yeah, it should. You know, I think they're two best players. I remember from last year, you know, Lamar Wilkerson, he entered the portal. He had a lot of interest, ended up going back to Sam Houston State, and then his name, DeMond Nicholas Jr., three years of experience, Duncanville, you know, high school, one of the best programs in the state of Texas. He's a really, really good player. And they have size on him, right? Nicholas is 6'4". Wilkerson is, I think he's like 6'5 or something. So, yeah. Corey Camper, you know, and David Terrell, Devon Barnes, you know, they're going to have their hands full, but I trust them to shut down their guards. I mean, UTEP shut down, you know, one of the best point guards in the nation today, Sean Newman, the best they could. So I trust them. The one that I'm worried about is their big man. It's the 6'11 forward Utah State transfer, Khalifa Sako. And I apologize if I'm messing up his name, but I know he had a double-double tonight against NMSU. And we know UTEP, you know, they struggle against big men. They did good against Bacho today, but, you know, can they hold that over, right? Yeah. And UTEP loves to double down low. And they gave up a lot of open threes, honestly, to Louisiana Tech today. And if those threes fall for Sam Houston State, it could be a rough night for the Miners. So they're gonna need to tighten up on their defense, and we'll see what happens.
Guys, get this. You mean Damon Nicholson, Nicholas Jr.?
Nicholas, yeah.
Injured on November 4th, and then on November 21st, had surgery and will miss the remainder of the year.
Wow.
Man, so...
So, huge loss there for them. They're coming in weak-sided,
They're probably missing him.
Yeah, no, and the interesting thing, too, is, right, this is obviously just the outlook, you know, far ahead from the game. I mean, Saturday is pretty far. I know, calendar-wise, not too much, but when you're waiting for UTEP basketball, it feels like forever. But with all that being said, right, the big injury to Nicholas, obviously that's huge, but I kind of think back to when the Miners took on Yale, and one of their best player, went out. I don't know the update status on it, but I mean, he was out for the rest of the game, and Yale was still able to hang in there. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't mean just because Sam Houston is out one of their best players that they can't come in and make it a close game. Look at Tarleton. Look at Jackson State.
And it could be one of those tricky games, right, where the guard play gives our guards trouble, and without a reliable big that can get buckets down low that we don't have, right? Or I should say UTEP doesn't have, right? It could get tricky, man. Like Zay said, I thought I saw Bacho today a bit in the high post. They try to kind of like make him Jokic out there a little bit.
Yeah.
If they do that with Sajo, that could get tricky, right? With some guards that are reliable that could knock down shots, it could get tricky. I know La Tech shot better than we did today, or I should say UTEP did today. 29%. I mean, if they're around 33, that could be disastrous.
Yeah, and I mean, they were able to overcompensate by taking care of the ball. If they're a little bit too loose with it and have some turnovers, I mean, could be completely different. But the game plan is going to be the game plan. We'll see what Golding rolls out with. And I love what he said today in his pregame interview. He's like, look, our plan is to be aggressive, you know, force the ball away, not only out of Bacho's hands, but force the ball away. And it worked for a good amount of times. And he said, hey, if that doesn't work, we'll make more adjustments to it. But I love that because he's like, this is our focal point. Knows that the team has to be better. Another thing, too, I'll mention in a bit, but another thing that they had to improve on was the rebounding. Although numerically they lost it, second half they were on par, and they actually out-rebounded offensively and got more points on second chance than Louisiana Tech. But another thing he mentioned was their slow start in the second half, and how that has been a big part of kind of their inefficiencies within this last 4 week stretch or so. And he said today is going to put them out a little bit earlier, get a little bit more warmed up for that second half. I mean, guys, I don't know what the amount of time was that he let them out a little bit earlier, but whatever it was, it looks like it made a difference.
Yeah, he said post game they let them out at the 6 minute mark. I don't know when they usually come out. I'd say they probably come out like with 3, maybe 4 minutes left. So that's about 2 minutes earlier. And they did like live drills to kind of simulate what you're going to feel in that second half. And I mean, it paid off, right? They closed the game out really well, right? Those last eight minutes. You know, I was looking at the clock and I'm like, okay, UTEP's up right now. They're up by double digits, 8 minutes left. But this is when they usually kind of...
We've seen it.
Yeah, we've seen it, right? Against Yale, Jackson State, even Tarleton State, right? You've seen that same story. You're expecting, hey, Louisiana Tech's going to come back with a run. But they really didn't, right? Every time Louisiana Tech had some momentum, it was, you know, someone like Otis Frazier coming up with a huge putback, or, you know, Corey Camper hitting a huge shot. I mean, they were really, really good in responding to whatever La Tech threw at them momentum-wise. So really, really proud of that UTEP team to be able to really close this game out.
Yeah. No, definitely definitely some great efficiency there near the end. And before we wrap things up, guys, because I know it's coming up, we've been on the air for a while, so we appreciate you all tuning in. We'll go back over to X and Twitter. This one coming in from Esteban. He says, oh, in regards to the 15-foot jump shots to win more games, he says, I'm a UTEP mechanical engineering alumni. I know math. All right. Well, that's awesome, man. We'll see. I mean, hey, if the shot falls, you're not wrong. I don't disagree there. This one from Joe Chacon. He says, I didn't see George tagged on anything, but it sounds like he could be hashtag pobre Jorge. Or pobre George. What do you think, man?
I'll take it at this point. I got a hashtag at least.
All right. I got you. And then... Oh, I love this one. I think you saw it too, Alberto. He says, or maybe if he's a regular, hashtag no way Jorge, as in no. Yeah, you get the picture.
Yeah.
But this next one, you are not ready for. He says, hashtag George of the Minor Jungle.
Yeah. Oh, that one's good, dude. I'll take that one.
Those are some quality ones, Joe. Shout out to you for that. I love it.
I'm with it.
All right, another one we have is Romeo. He says, will we lose a home game this season? Ah, guys, is it too early to talk about that, or let's just jump on it? I don't know. I'll say this. I do think they will, just because it's going to be very hard to win all of your home games. I mean, pretty much for anybody, unless you're I don't know, one of the top teams back in their prime, like Duke in the 90s and whatever. But I digress. I do think they do. I think they win way more than they're going to lose at home, but it's inevitable to at least drop one at home.
Yeah, and maybe you look at the schedule, and I could see where he's coming from, right? And you say, oh, well, this was the game to lose, right, against the preseason pick, against Bacho, right, against this dangerous La Tech team. But, yeah, no, Conference USA is actually it's pretty fierce this year. NMSU is not going to come in here and roll over. Kennesaw State, Western Kentucky. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be tough, man.
Yeah, I mean, let's reel it down. I'll ask you guys. We'll go with we'll start with Alberto and we'll reel it down. I'll just go down the home games. Alberto, Sam Houston coming in, win or loss?
Win.
All right, New Mexico State.
Win.
All right, Jacksonville State.
That's a loss.
All right. See? All right. We already got one. And it wouldn't be a bad thing. I mean, they got Kennesaw after that. Then they get FIU, Liberty, Western, and then Middle. So those are still some tough games. I mean, Sam Houston or Louisiana Tech is not the only good Conference USA team that they'll have at home. So we already got your loss marked at Jacksonville State. Alberto, Zay, let's reel it off, man. We'll go back to it. Sam Houston.
Yeah, I think that's a win.
New Mexico State?
I'm going to go win.
Jacksonville State.
I'll go win.
Kennesaw.
I'll go win.
All right, FIU.
I'll go win.
Liberty.
I think, you know, I'm not... I know, I think Liberty, West Kentucky, Middle Tennessee. I know you said that was one of their, you know, that's part of their home stretch kind of right there.
So Liberty's in the middle of February, and then Western's at the end of February, and then middle opens up March. So those are the last three home games, but they do have a in a way stretch. Final three: Liberty, Western Kentucky, and Middle Tennessee. You're on a win streak all the way up to that point. Are you still going?
I think they're going to lose one of those games. I'm not going to say which one because that's so hard. Those are three really, really good teams. I want to say they're going to go 2-1, but I guess, you know, just for the sake of it, I don't want to jinx them or anything. I think they go 1-2 in that home stretch. Kind of a rough way to end an otherwise, you know, really, really good home stretch, home season, you know, for them.
Reverse psychology. Yeah. I like it. You know? I like it. George.
Yeah. He took the words right out of my mouth. I think they go 1-2 in that home stretch, but I do think that they equalize and they get 1-2 or 2-1, you know, on the road against those teams. But yeah, it's just too tough. It sucks that Conference USA might be a one-bid league again, as it always is, because this conference is tough in basketball this year.
No, you're right, man. I mean, out of nine home games, it's very tough to win all of your home games.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not saying that you shouldn't be over 500. I mean, shoot, maybe even over 60-70%. I mean, that's what I would expect from this team. I'd say maybe two would be the most that they drop, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do wind up going 8-1. I'd be surprised if they go undefeated at home, just based off of, you know, statistics. Right. But they're going to be really good at home nonetheless. So, Miners, we have them at least dropping one for the rest of the year. But so far, so good for them. So that was a good tweet from Romeo. And then we go back over to Twitter. This one coming in from, matter of fact, I think we are all caught up, actually, guys. Let's just give this a quick refresh. And yeah, that's pretty much going to do it. Miners get the win over Louisiana Tech 70-60 right here on Miner Talk. We did hand out some awards. And of course, the Wind Supply El Paso hot hand of the game. Visit them online at windsupplyelpaso.com. The award winner for the hot hand of the game, none other than Corey Camper Jr. I think he's on my fantasy team. I got to double check like I do every game. But no, I'm joking, guys. Amazing performance from Camper Jr. The Oscar Arrieta Agency player of the game. You can check them out online at oscararrietaagency.com. None other than a name we've said a lot this year and even a lot last year. Otis Frazier III. A 21 bag, 9 for 18 overall, 2 for 9 from beyond the arc. Of course, gets his and one free throw. He does get 7 rebounds offensively and a couple of putbacks as well, a couple of points for him, rather, and gets 4 rebounds defensively. Do the math, that's 11. He gets his double-double. A combined 32 points and rebounds. That's amazing, man. That's what you're going to need in this league. Yep. 3 dimes to his credit, and then 2 steals as well for Otis Frazier III. Man, this guy's amazing. He's your Oscar Arrieta Agency player of the game. Check them out online at oscararrietaagency.com. That's pretty much going to do it, guys. The Miners get the win here, as mentioned, 70-60. They get Sam Houston up next. They fell to New Mexico State 75-71. They had the lead. It wasn't a large lead. It was a couple points, you know, in the final half of the second half, the final 10 minutes. But nonetheless, they do drop it to the Aggies, and that's who the Miners will play after Sam Houston. But we'll talk about the Aggies after the Miners and the Bearcats meet up on Saturday. That's going to do it right here on Miner Talk on 600 ESPN El Paso. Don't forget UTEP and Sam Houston. That one starts 7 o'clock. We'll have the broadcast starting at 6:30 for the Longhorn Distributing Countdown to Tip-Off. John Teicher, Steve Yellen, amazing duo. You can catch it all right here. And then, of course, after the post-game show, give us a call. And that's all right here on Miner Talk. And you know what I just realized, guys? I'm so sorry. I didn't even say out the phone number one time during the broadcast. I know I did it during the post-game show, but we appreciate you guys for sending us a Twitter. And, you know, we love that you've been rocking with us. Happy New Year to you all as well. And, yeah, we're going to be back again on Saturday, and we'll talk all about it, where the Miners take on the Bearcats. You've been listening to Miner Talk right here on 600 ESPN El Paso, and it's brought to you by Jack in the Box with 15 locations in El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is the perfect spot before and after every game. We'll talk to you guys on Saturday. Have a good night.